We'll just get right to business. Tonight, we're going to read a couple sections of this chapter. We're going to read, first off, from verse 24 through to verse 30. And then we'll go on down to verse 36 and read through verse 43. Father, I thank you tonight, and I praise you for your word and what you have spoken through your sisters. God, I praise you for your presence. Lord, I'm so thankful for the anointing in our singing and our praise and worship. God, I pray that you continue to bless it and grow us, God, as we come together. Lord, we're so happy to see the worship of your people coming together. And I pray, God, that we keep it alive in our hearts, that as we move forward, we'll encourage others to step out and to be more obedient to you. And God, I pray that for this moment in time, that you draw our focus to your word, that God, let our hearts and minds be upon you, and let your spirit minister to us in this hour, God. And I know and believe that those that sincerely will receive what you speak, and as they go forth, Lord, they'll begin to be a doer and not just a hearer. And I thank you and praise you for your presence, God. And I honor you, Lord, by standing before you tonight, God, believing you are able to move in every need that we brought before you, God, and we'll never cease to give you honor and praise. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. And those here tonight say, amen. Let's go ahead and start reading. We'll start at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Tonight, I want to open up with something. Let me read this to you. In the agricultural society of Christ's time, many farmers depended on the quality of their crops. An enemy sowing weeds would have sabotaged an entire business, a livelihood. And the tares in the parable were likely, I believe the pronunciation is darnel, because that weed, until it matures, appears like wheat. Tonight, as I read this first part to you, my heart has been to the Lord this week about learning when to intervene, learning when to take a stand, learning when to stand back and let him have his way. Learning when to say the right things, do the right things, and knowing when to back off and let God have his way. And sometimes if you look at things that you've been through, maybe even this week, you can look back at something and say to yourself, I should have just let that go. How many of you can testify to that? Maybe you've been in something and you see something come to pass and you think to yourself, I should have been praying more. Maybe, like Sister Faye talked about tonight, maybe you've been at a church service and you felt something to step out and do it and you didn't because you were afraid or looking around at other things that was going on. But as I began to read this scripture, God began to put something in my spirit that while I've read over this from time to time, it's been something that hit me a little bit different than it had in the past. Now, I know that when we begin to see or feel things and perceive that something is beginning to happen out of our control, naturally, we want to do all that we can to fight against those things. We want to begin to try to dance all over the devil. We want to start coming out with our hands blazing. We want to make sure that we do all that we can to fight after what is rightfully ours. But there's been some things that as I begin to pray to God about what I need to do in my own life, that he spoke to me and showed me about things that may be going on around me. There's something that God put in my spirit to tell this congregation tonight. And I'm here to tell you right now, when it comes to having to prove who you are in God, you don't have to prove a thing to anybody. I know the world would have you to prove it by what you can do, or how loud that you can shout, or all that you can do to give to the church. But you don't have to prove anything to any man or any woman to prove that the goods that you have are of God. Because I'm here to tell you, you can try to get in the middle of the wheat and the tares and try to decide what you should do and what you should not do. But let me tell you, when we do it our way, we get our hands in the middle of it, and we mess everything up that God already had control in. And there's some things I'm beginning to realize, that though I know and can perceive that something is beginning to be bad around me, I'm learning not to be afraid and to try to dive my hand in, to try to shift everything to work it according to what I would think would work out, because it's our actions that cause the greatest of hindrances to God's plan. There's been some times if I just kept my mouth shut, I would have caused so much more progress than if I had just left it alone. I would have seen more progress. If I would have just held my peace for the moment, then I could have saved somebody from having to see something in me that God maybe was trying to work in to get me to understand that if I'll trust him with everything, then I don't have to worry about proving at all. Just as true wheat produces wheat, so will a true believer produce spiritual fruit consistent with a life of faith. The day will come when each person will be known for what he or she truly is. It took me a long time to understand that just because somebody bothers me or hurts my family, that I have to learn to handle it in a way that's different than the world's ways. I have a sister that I love dearly, and I would do anything to protect her. And I have a wife and a family that if I ever knew that anybody hurt them, I would defend their honor. I would do all that I know to do. But something about what the anointing of God does to you will cause you to go from wanting to go and kick their rear end and hurt them to being somebody that'll get down on their knees and begin to pray for them. Let me tell you about what God's done in my life. He's took me from having a heart that would have been spiteful, vindictive, and grudging, and he has helped me to have a love for people that I would have never thought I would have love for. And he's been able to create in me an understanding to learn that though things are beginning to go bad around me, that that doesn't mean that I need to try to intervene and do it my own way. Because at the end of the day, when the fruit of the Spirit is produced, when you endure and be patient over a thing, then that which is wheat shall be seen as wheat, and that which is tares will be seen as tares. You won't have to prove it then. It'll speak for itself. My Lord and my God, we have all kinds of people that come in the church doors. They'll sit right next to you and pretend that they're a Christian. But let me tell you, when it comes to handling real life situations, they're going to do it their own way. They don't want the Word of God to correct them. They don't want a preacher to help them understand that there's a better way to act. They're going to do it their way. And at the end of the day, when they should have prospered, they will have failed, and they will question God and wonder why that those things happened. So then we begin to question God, get angry at God, and think that it's all God's fault, instead of understanding that there will be a season when good seed will dwell with bad seed. That's something that God told me to tell you tonight. It's something that you have to accept. It's not something you have to receive, but it's something you have to accept. Good seed and bad seed will dwell in the same source. It rains on the just and the unjust. That means that you will have to deal with things out of your control, but that doesn't mean that you have to lose control when you deal with it. And when you begin to see the bitter and sweet waters don't have any place together, that's beginning to reproof the Christian to somebody that knows and understands owns the way. So that means to tell me that if I'm dealing with someone that has hurt my family, hurt my friends, hurt my church, that I can't go and do it the way that I would see is justice, that I have to pray and love them the way that Christ loved me. And to do it any other way, church, is the way of the hypocrite. You want to tell me that you love God and you're going to go out and go off on somebody. Honey, I'm here to tell you that there's no love of God in that kind of attitude. But if you'll come in and get to the person next to you and love them the way that Christ loved you, we'd have a whole lot less of looking at each other, and we'd have a whole lot more of getting in and doing what God has called us to do. There was a season in my life when I was of little understanding. So when I began to go through things, I began to perceive that there had to be something wrong in me. That there had to be something wrong in me. And I'd get down, I'd pray, and my God, I'd read, I'd study, I'd listen to podcasts, I'd listen to the radio, I'd listen to encouraging music, I would do all that I know to do, but still at the end of the day, I'd have to lay down and accept that there was still something difficult in front of me. So there's something that I had to learn, that there is a degree of persecution that we have to learn to accept, because if it wasn't something you had to bear, then Christ would not have come and told you that it'd be something you had to deal with. He said in this world you'd have many tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. And that tells me that if he overcame the world, that you can do it the way he did. His ways are above our ways. His ways of handling things are better than ours. His ways of dealing with people are better than ours. When adulteresses were in his presence, he told them to go and sin no more. When the unclean was in the presence of Christ, he didn't rebuke them, but he invited them in closer. My God, I feel like preaching. When you want to think that it's something that you need to kick over to the curb and not deal with anymore, Jesus was the kind of man that would get around those that others would reject. Jesus was the kind of guy that would go after those that were blind when others would have sat them at the gate and just said it's over for them. Jesus saw them in a totally different way. My Lord and my God, and even though things are growing up around you that look like they can destroy you, at the end of the day, God's going to separate that which the devil would have used to destroy you, and he'll begin to bring forth the fruit that dwells inside of you. So don't you dare take that tear and say that's for you. That's for God. And if it means that when it comes to the end that your attitude got to go, then let that go with the tears. You don't even need that anyway. Let that go and be behind you instead of feeling like it's got to be something you live with forever. I have not prospered in the ministry just because of the number of times I've preached. I've not prospered and grew higher in his anointing just because I showed up and put in the minutes. I'm not qualified just because of what I have on tonight. It's not because of just the way that I act towards you that it looks like that I love you. There's something inside of me that is different today than it was when God found me. There's something that came into my life that makes me to be different than I would have been had I never known Christ. He said, I've got to go away, because when I go, I'm going to send something else to you, that when you have this thing, you'll be able to be comforted. We have the Holy Ghost, right? It is that which helps us to discern right from wrong. Here we go. It helps us to discern that which is the wheat and that which is the tares. Now, if they would have wanted to, they could have probably got down in the dirt, seed by seed, and tried to get rid of it on their own. But how exhausting, can somebody testify tonight, how exhausting it is when we try to do it by ourselves. There's a world out there that's trying to do it their way. They're broken, and they know no other way but to drink. They're broken, and they know no other way but to do drugs. They're hurting, and the only thing they know to do is participate in homosexuality. They're looking for friends, and they only find people that want to lead them to destruction. Am I talking to people tonight that act like they don't know and understand, or am I talking to people tonight that claim they know Christ? If you know Christ, you better get in line with what the Word of God tells us
to learn to understand, because if you're going to walk in the midst of bad and not show that you're good, then you might as well put it on and say that's what you are. Because unless you learn to serve your master the right way, then that which is around you will become you. Oh, brother, you're talking to somebody else. Have you ever gotten an argument with somebody and they made you mad because they argued with you? Have you ever dropped your drink and got frustrated because you were then literally crying over spilled milk? Have you overslept before and didn't get to work on time and got mad at yourself before? Have you ever had somebody send you a message and you read the tone the wrong way and got mad at them and they didn't even mean anything by it anyway? Have you ever had somebody to speak ill of you even though they hadn't even got fully woke up? I'm the kind of guy that takes about 20 minutes to warm up the car. So if you catch me in the first 20 minutes when I wake up, I don't know what might come out. I'm quite lethargic in that regard. But Angela has learned to leave me alone for the first 15, 20 minutes until I register that I'm conscious and of my right mind. And then at that point, you can begin to talk to me. If you know to do good and do it not, it's going to hinder you. But if you know something's bad and you're going to cast your pearls before the swine, then you're just going to get what you get and have to live with it. But God, I'm getting to something right now. God has taught us through the Holy Spirit to understand the difference between the wheat and the tares. He didn't leave us without understanding. He didn't leave you without the ability to know and understand His will and His plan for you. Because if we didn't know His will, we wouldn't know how to react, would we? Somebody would tell you something horrible and you wouldn't know how to bring something back emotionally. But let me tell you, since God has changed my life, the people that I would never have forgiven, I've forgiven. And I've loved them. And I've hugged them. And I have helped them. It takes a lot of love in a person to get past your emotions and forgive them. I'm not talking about moving on. I'm not talking about repairing anything beyond that. But it takes a great deal of love to look at somebody that you know that you had something else in store for and to forgive them. And it moves mountains when you give people that kind of love. It makes a difference when you give them that kind of love. But let me tell you what begins to happen. As we get confused on things and aren't seeking for spiritual discernment, we begin to be tossed to and fro. And as we are tossed to and fro, we are the devil's playground. And as we are the devil's playground, he begins to speak to us to alter our attitudes. He begins to alter our speech to the point that we begin to be frustrated even though nothing has even happened. We'll turn on the hot water and it's cold when it first comes out, and we'll get mad because the hot water's not turned on yet. You'll go to make a peanut butter jelly sandwich, and there'll be mold on the bread. And you'll be like, are you kidding me? You'll get the bowl out for some cereal and pour it and forget to look for the milk, and there ain't no milk in the fridge. I'm talking to somebody right now. We are letting such common things stand in the way of understanding God's more divine purpose in our life. And we begin to perceive everything that goes bad as something that is speaking about how horrible that we are. But things happen. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, things happen. Things are going to happen. People are going to upset you. You are going to oversleep for work one day. People will not enjoy what you have to preach, sort of like what I'm feeling like right now. But I'm here to tell you that whether they like it or not, whether they jump up and down when you obey God, there's still something powerful about what comes out of a person that gives all their heart to God. So as we give ourselves, we devote ourselves, this begins to talk about waiting until it blooms. Because if you try to capture tares before they bloom, you'll see them as wheat. There are churches that see people that are zealous, but they don't wait long enough to see what kind of fruit people have. And they'll put them in position just because they're available. They'll put them in position just because they're talented. And by the time that they really need to step up and be ready to battle in the supernatural, let me tell you what happens. The tares begin to show up. And then you begin to question yourself, well, what was I even thinking trying to give this person a chance? What was I even doing trying to give somebody an opportunity? Let me tell you, if we're not spiritually discerning the things that we need to be doing in our everyday life, then you're going to be sitting in the midst of bad seed and not even know it. I don't know why God put this in me, but He started this with me last weekend when we talked about encouragement and talked about being aware of your surroundings, because unless you begin to learn about the things that come to destroy you, you're going to be overtaken every single time something happens. And despite what the world would tell, it's okay, brother, to feel that way. It's all right. You just cry. You just be mad at them. And if you see their car, you just slash their tires. It's okay. If you've got a brother that's 6 foot tall and can take him, you just send him down there. It'll be all right. Because the Lord will understand. Right? He'll understand. You're under grace, brother. It'll be all right. Let me tell you, God doesn't play games if you get serious with Him. And He don't want you to play games. He wants you to begin to seek for understanding. He wants you to begin to seek for understanding. Because in spite of what the world would tell you, you can see the enemy coming. Now, it might be God's will that it come to you and try to attack you and bother you, but that doesn't mean you quit. If we could just get a body of believers together that'll just try, see how God will move. But most of the time when we come in, we get so discouraged over the small stuff that we're missing the bigger picture. I'm not here to help preach you through getting through the small stuff. I'm not here to comfort you when you oversleep for work. I'm here to talk to you about the supernatural attacks of the enemy. The things that you see happen that are unexpected, and they're things that come directly against your faith. And God can give you the understanding to know and understand the difference between something that's petty and something that is of the enemy. Because let me tell you tonight, until you learn to discern these things in your own life, you're not going to be able to see it coming. And when it happens to you, you will not be walking like Christ. Domestic violence is at an all-time high. Assault and violence is everywhere. Did we not see in the news how that the Islamic State released another video of how they're beheading Christians? Yet we sit idly by and are getting mad about the small and petty things. Oh, my Lord and my God, there should not be a moment of silence in the house of God. There should not be a moment where we're looking around at each other and wondering what we need to be doing. Because if Jesus Christ saved your life, then He gave you a reason and a purpose. And I'm telling you that until the appointed time when you begin to see victory come your way, you might as well just accept that the devil's going to be there. But I'm here to tell you that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm here to tell somebody right now, it's time for you to look around in your spiritual eye and stop looking in the flesh, because every time that you look with your natural eye, you're missing where the devil's really sitting. You think it's the person, but it's the seed inside of them that begins to try to bloom and come against you. Don't hate on that person, because God might just use you to minister to them one day. And if they're hurting you, you just hold your peace and let God have a chance, because a day's gonna come when it comes to full bloom, and those that have hurt me and my family and my loved ones are gonna have to answer for the things that they've done. My Lord and my God, you might as well get in the boat with me, or you're gonna miss out on this big nugget that God's about to lay on you right now. Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't wait long enough for the wheat to come to full bloom, you're not going to be ready when the tares come too.